Hello, folks. This is Dr. William Curtis with the WFO Life Podcast, Energy Tribe, and Future Focus Family Medicine. I have a COVID-19 update I want to give to you because in recent weeks, actually just in the last few days, we have seen easing of restrictions across the United States and across the world. Now that we have at least better access to testing, we're starting to see different numbers, and we're starting to see a better picture of the overall scope of the pandemic. I have a few things I want to anecdotally point out and cautions that I want to give you. So this won't take very long, but I thought it was an important update based on my observations clinically. First thing I want to point out is that despite global easing of restrictions, I think it's some people get a misconception of what's going to happen. COVID-19 or the SARS virus is not going to go away. It's still going to be present. And I'll make the case that it probably was present well before even the, quote, pandemic was identified. This virus will continue to be circulating amongst people. It will continue to infect people as it has done. And as you will see, I believe you're going to see that you will still see cases spike when we ease restrictions. I also believe that there's a couple of case in points. First off, my clinic is in South Texas, Corpus Christi in particular, and we honestly in our county did not really have, during the peak of the epidemic, we really didn't have any significant spike like you would see, say, in New York or San Antonio or Houston. We were a quiet area as far as COVID-19 goes. Part of that was due to our county officials locking things down as quickly as they could, acting efficiently, but partly as Corpus Christi is just out of the way. We're not on the main thoroughfare. You have to want to come here. We're not on the main highway as far as a pass-through location, say like a San Antonio or a Houston, where it's a pass-through or area where lots of people are going through there from one place to another. So it's just not on a high-density area of thoroughfare. But the things that you need to keep in mind about this is that the virus is still in our community. Case in point, two things that I think are very interesting. The first is a case I just heard about yesterday. There was a student at a local high school that the parents identified that mid-February of 2020, this patient had a respiratory illness. And it was a strange illness because this patient was very healthy. And the athlete and student just continued going to school and even went on bus trips and things like that, and really, honestly, didn't really even was too concerned about it other than it seemed like a strange illness that required steroids and antibiotics and even an inhaler. They got past it, they're better, they're well, and life goes on. Fast forward 2 months, that same patient ends up with getting an IgG testing for COVID-19, and it's positive. It's the only time the patient's been sick in recent months. So one would conclude from that either the patient was asymptomatically exposed to COVID-19 in recent weeks, or that illness back in February was actually COVID-19. So that's concerning because that means that it was already in our community. It's either not widespread or not as deadly as people let on. Second thing is, medically speaking, in our clinic, we have only seen one case prior to yesterday where we knew of one of our patients that actually had COVID-19. This was not diagnosed by our clinic, but by a hospital team, and then we helped them on a periphery through telemedicine treating them. Just yesterday, after restrictions have been lifted, we actually diagnosed our own case, reported it to the CDC. We did that through telemedicine. We had the patient come to the clinic and stay outside in their vehicle. We gowned up and swabbed them and sent them home for self-quarantine. Sadly, that patient has other people that live at home with them, so the reality is that one case may become four cases. But the point I'm making with explaining this is that, A, there's evidence that the virus has already been in our community for a very long time. well before the, quote, you know, big restrictions were put in place. That's good and bad. The good part of that is probably a large portion of the population have already been exposed, are already well, and possibly even have antibodies. Time and testing will tell. The second thing about that is that, medically speaking, and people ask me a lot about this, oh, are we safe now? Are we okay now? Medically speaking, it makes no sense that COVID-19 is going to go anywhere. It's going to decrease in frequency after as the summer ensues, but it'll probably re-spike just like the flu season does. So I believe it's something we have to be constantly vigilant for. But I think the data that we're starting to see, and this is one doctor's opinion. I am not the CDC. This is one man's opinion based on my daily readings and based on my clinical experiences and based on my 20 years of medical practice. I think that there are particular populations of people that are at risk. The deaths, the things that we're most concerned with, are actually in a fairly narrow band of people in the world. First off, it's people who are greater than 80 years old. Certainly cases greater than 65 are at higher risk, but the people that are actually dying are in nursing homes and 80 plus years of age. That's generally true across the board in all major epicenters. These people also had pre-existing conditions almost universally. Okay, even the cases where you're hearing, oh, I heard a young person, you know, got it, you know, somebody less than 50, yep. And I guarantee you, in most of those situations, they had one or more pre-existing conditions. And you should ask, what pre-existing conditions? Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, congestive heart failure, COPD, smoking, asthma. These are pre-existing conditions. These are things that leave a person susceptible to even the most basic cold virus. There are people that get sick every day from basic cold viruses, just like COVID-19, that aren't COVID-19. So the point I'm making is that there is a specific high-risk group, okay? There's people like the patient I mentioned that got sick earlier in the year that had it. It was a cold virus for them, and they got over it. They have antibodies, probably spread it to some other people that had a cold and got over it. And there's no clear evidence that for that person it was particularly deadly. It was a cold virus. However, for this highest risk population, I want to caution people that this is still a serious issue. This is not the time to decide that we're just going to ease all restrictions. And if you have major medical issues, like I've mentioned, you're still at risk for catching this. This virus isn't going anywhere. It's going to recirculate. It's going to be something we have to change how we behave. And I want to tell you a few things you can do, because this is what you control. Always you want to focus on not the situation and what's out of your control, but what you can control. The first thing is that you can wear masks. And I've seen everybody has the custom masks now and the colorful masks, and some of them are wearing their high-end medical mask. I think that's going to be a new norm. And I think that's going to be a big part of social distancing in areas that we can't avoid being around other people. You're going to wear masks. You're going to wash your hands frequently. You're going to avoid concentrated areas of people. And in some situations, perhaps even gloves or some type of barrier on the hands will be important. The next major thing, exercise. You see, oh good, Curtis is going to talk about exercise again. The reason I keep bringing that up is it's one of the major ways you can boost immunity. Like, why would you not do that? Does it make any sense not to do that? And by the way, staying at home in your house because you think you're social distancing and giving yourself another excuse not to exercise is not that is not what people are being asked to do. You can go to a park and walk. Just don't be up in somebody's grill. Just don't go shake hands with every person you walk across in the park, or stand 1 foot from somebody's face and have a conversation with them at the park. This is not what social distancing means. You can get some sunshine. You can be outside. You can be physically active. Please move your body and your immune system will respond appropriately. You can also cut sugar and processed foods from your diet. This would help you optimize or even reverse, dare I say, type 2 diabetes. Because type 2 diabetes is a dis-ease. It's a disease of lifestyle. And it can be changed. And if, you know, we're getting to the point where greater than 40 to 45% of our population have either signs of prediabetes or full-blown diabetes. I'm speaking in the United States in particular. The reality of this can be reversed. Stop eating processed sugar. For God's sake, stick with meat, vegetables, and good fats. Stay away from pastries, cakes, sugars, soda, death in a can, or excessive amounts of alcohol. This is a big way to boost your immunity. The next thing is sleep. And everybody, I've done topics on this, and maybe I'll put a show note or something in here on the sleep topics I've done, but 7 to 9 hours of sleep boosts energy, boosts mood, also boosts overall energy and immunity. So if you want a strong, robust immune system to fight the possibility of you being exposed to COVID-19, please get 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Stop staying up on Netflix till 2 in the morning. It isn't going to help you in the long run. Do the little things that matter. Sleep, diet, exercise, and barrier protection, masks, social restriction to some extent, especially if you're high risk. And those are the people over 80 with pre-existing medical issues such as diabetes, heart disease, congestive heart failure, COPD, or any kind of immune suppressant situations like people that are on lupus medications and things like that. So things that I think medical teams should be considering at this time, keep using telemedicine. If you think you're sick, don't go walk into a clinic and try to be seen. Call first or do telemedicine first. Keep clinics open for non-sick people. I think this is key. I was really disappointed whenever several of our specialists in our community just closed their doors. And I guess they wrote it off as, well, I'm doing elective procedures. There's still people with colon cancer. There's still people with heart disease. The number one cause of death this year is not going to be COVID-19 in the world. It's going to be heart disease, diabetic-related diseases, cancer, and all these other things. We have to keep treating the things that are actually killing people. Otherwise, we're going to have casualties that are like secondary casualties of COVID-19. We as physicians have to step up and treat these people and be creative, use telemedicine, use different protocols in our clinic. But for God's sakes, we need to treat these people and not scare them into where they don't come for medical care because of how we run our clinic or because of the inappropriate fear of COVID-19 being the biggest problem. I think we ought to have masks in clinics, obviously, and we should step up our hygiene and cleaning of the clinics and spacing arrangements of patients within a clinic. I think we should be in a situation where we realize that the biggest risk is that people are going to ignore this. They're going to get in large congregations, they're going to spread it, and then they're going to go back and visit their elderly family member, or they're just going to flatly think that because the government is restricting things, that it's because there's some kind of all clear. I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I'm trying to be realistic and explain to you that COVID-19, it's not like it goes away. It's the same thing as the flu virus. Every year we have a vaccine, right? And we have to change the vaccine every year for influenza because it sort of morphs and changes year to year. Well, the problem with the situation with influenza is that it doesn't go away. We never assume we're going to stop it. We just try to improve immunity to the herd, the mass of people, if we can, by immunizing who? The sickest and at highest risk. That's why there's guidelines for diabetics and people with heart failure and COPD to actually get an injection, even though they're ineffective sometimes, the flu vaccine. Every year we try to get people to do that because we want to improve herd immunity to a virus. So I think that I beat that up probably at this point, but I wanted to give an update as I've seen these easing of restrictions. And ironically, we're starting to see more cases in a local clinic like ourselves. And we're starting to see evidence that as people are getting tested, that there probably have been a whole lot more people. So that's a good news, bad news thing. There's a lot more people that have probably already been exposed to it. It probably crept into our community already many months ago. And some people have probably already been, exposed. So think about getting IgG testing if you can. That's the antibody testing, just to see if you maybe have already been exposed. That would be kind of helpful news. And then secondly, if you are at high risk, please continue to use precautions. Be careful where you go. Wash your hands. cover your face. And if you don't need to go somewhere, don't. But do not ignore your chronic medical issues, and do the things I mentioned that you can do, that you can control. Be positive, be social with other people, but at a distance. And if you are healthy and well and low risk, please do the best you can to support others in your community. I hope this has been helpful. If it is, you can please leave a comment in our community site, the Future Focus Health Network. We do have a whole topic there dedicated to COVID-19. Generally, there's positive information, and I try to keep that area clean of hyperbole and ridiculous fear-mongering about what is basically a fairly straightforward medical issue. So at any rate, I will end there, and I wish you all the best week, and be safe.